From KLCC Studios, this is Oregon on the Record.
I'm Michael Dunn. Bucking the historic trend of providing services, there are organizations whose strategy is to simply provide at-risk individuals with money, no strings attached. The idea is that instead of offering food or shelter, you provide people with money and allow them to make their own choices. And these programs have shown that people, more often than not, use the money to improve their circumstances. Locally, an organization which helps at-risk youth with education and workforce services is partnering in a pilot program to provide direct cash transfers to young adults to help keep them out of homelessness. Today on Oregon on the Record, you'll hear from Connected Lane County and this novel partnership to provide direct cash to kids. Some may view it as a radical idea, but the potential for it to lift young people out of poverty is a fascinating idea to explore. You'll hear about it next on Oregon on the Record. Connected Lane County is known for providing young people with important tools to help with their education and workforce training. But its newest pilot program of providing direct cash to at-risk youth is somewhat unconventional, yet has the potential of being a true game changer. Heidi Larwick and Annie Dropick, who are with Connected Lane County. Heidi is the executive director and Annie is the program lead for a program called Navigate. Thanks so much for you both for coming in and talking to us.
Thanks for having us today.
Yeah. Heidi, let's start with you. I think people have heard about the organization, but give us kind of the 30,000-foot view of what Connected Lane County does.
Yeah, so Connected Lane County is a youth-serving organization for Lane County. So we are working with youth up to the age of 24. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, what we're trying to do is support these young people and equip them with the tools that they need to feel confident in their own abilities. We are working with youth from marginalized communities, youth who don't have the necessary supports that they need. And so we're really trying to create pathways and opportunities to employment, to education, and really just set them on a path to success.
Okay. You mentioned up to 25. What's the youngest age group that you serve?
Well, we sometimes work with elementary age youth, and it's just kind of a like introduction or just a one-time, three-hour kind of experience. We do some events for middle school, mm-hmm. but the bulk of our programming is really extensive learning, and so it's primarily for the ages between 14 and 24.
Okay, and talk about the facilities that you have. Mm-hmm. People are familiar with Spark and so on and so forth. Talk about all those, and I know it's not just here in Eugene as well.
Yeah, so we have two facilities in Lane County. Mm-hmm. We opened one in Eugene in 2021, and we built out a second center in Springfield just in 2023. Mm-hmm. Each facility is an innovation hub, so it has technology and equipment that you might see in a local manufacturing or a tech company. We have healthcare, education, and so young people can come into these facilities. They can do a hands-on learning day, or they can come for 6 weeks of instruction. Mm-hmm. So they're really set up to provide spaces, safe spaces, belonging spaces, so they can come in and they can learn.
Okay. And as I understand it, sort of CTE, the career technical education, is a critical part of that, isn't it?
Yeah, CTE is incredibly important. It's incredibly important for every young person. So mm-hmm. CTE is that practical application of the content knowledge, right? So you take your math and science and the things that you learn and you apply it to an experience or a learning that connects with a particular job. And so what we are doing is similar to career technical education. We're just an out-of-school space, mm-hmm. and we're for youth that maybe didn't have access to CTE, or they're out of school and they don't have access to that type of learning. So we just sort of see ourselves working as a supplement to maybe what young people don't have access to.
And talk about the different categories of programs that you offer.
The programming that we offer spans between coming in for a one-day experience, mm-hmm. or a career expo or a career fair, all the way to a full-time internship over the summer that could span up 200 hours. Mm. So we're really trying to build young people, build their experiences by giving them introduction, then maybe having them come for a week, then eventually they do some sort of learning experience, and then they go to an applied internship. So our hope is that every young person that comes into our program is in it for 1 to 2 years so that they can build upon each experience.
Okay. So Annie, talk about this program, Navigate, and what it does and what it offers for students.
Yeah, Navigate is our re-engagement program. So we're working with youth all across Lane County that are underserved, facing some significant barriers, often unhoused, and trying to connect to these complex systems of support. Mm-hmm. So the Navigate program connects them one-on-one to a resource navigator who works with a caseload of youth and then helps them navigate those support systems. And the bulk of that is to help youth re-engage with education or whatever career they're interested in getting into.
Okay.
We're mostly funded by the Federal Workforce Innovation Opportunity Act, and so that's nationwide, so every state has this. And then we work with Lane Workforce Partnership, and then we contract with them for the funding for this program. They fund about 80% of our program.
Okay. Talk about how many students are involved in the Navigate program.
On average, we typically serve about 250 youth in the Navigate program. Some of those youth are actively on a caseload working with a resource navigator, and some of those youth are in follow-up, which means they've gone through the program, gotten to a place where they feel stable, and then we've exited them, but we still continue to give support to them for a year afterwards to make sure that they're stable.
Okay. Heidi, I'm going to go back to you, and but certainly, Annie, you can also please weigh in. You know, I'm wondering, I would imagine, like so many other things, you know, the pandemic was such a shock to the system in terms of education, in terms of care, in terms of housing. You know, how did the pandemic, you know, both impact what you were trying to do, but now coming out of it, how many kids are you able to kind of help shepherd along? Because that was such a, you know, a tremendous obstacle to almost anything in their lives.
Well, the pandemic for us was an opportunity for us to pause actually some of our programming and really take a look at what were the needs of the young people we were trying to serve. Mm-hmm. And our two facilities are actually a direct outcome of taking a pause and kind of looking inward to say, what are we missing? And what we realized through that was that there was this need to connect in person. There was a need to be in spaces that felt supportive. And there was also this need to do hands-on learning. You know, the virtual education didn't work for a lot of young people. And so they, when we were able to open the facilities, it's like they just flocked in because they needed that connection. They needed those relationships. They wanted to be in a space where they could use their hands and use their minds together. And then one of the other pieces that we saw with that was this huge need in mental health supports. Mm. And I'm sure you've heard that from other folks, but just this recognition of how maybe lonely and isolating and depressing some of to be in those spaces, what, you know, it, during COVID was. And so for us, that also opened up a door for us to say, what else can we be doing? Like, we're doing a great job with the technical training and the professional training, but what other services should we be providing? And that's when we started to dive a little bit more into mental health and housing and all of those other pieces, and how can we make stronger connections with other partners to be able to provide that for our young people.
Great, great. Let me reintroduce you to the audience. We're talking with Annie Dropick and Heidi Larwick. They're both with Connected Lane County. Annie, you know, I'm wondering too, throughout the state of Oregon, there is this tremendous problem of kids dropping out of school for a lot of different reasons. I think we're one of the worst in the state. And I know that re-enrollment is a big part of Navigate. Talk about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the bulk of the youth we work with are disengaged from school. So about 75% of the youth in our program are out of school, either because they didn't complete high school or, especially during the pandemic, found it difficult to complete school. And so a lot of what we're doing is helping them re-engage in a way that works for them. Often that's GED programs, especially for our rural youth.
Okay. Okay. And then, you know, also I know you do, you know, job counseling and workforce preparation. Can you give us kind of a breakdown of how many kids are there for sort of that re-enrollment and education services, and some are there for actual job training? How does it sort of break out?
It's a little bit of both for all of them, really.
Okay.
Some of them have completed school and are ready to move into the career field that they're interested in. So they're really focusing on trying to get into either secondary education or pre-apprenticeship programs and get into the trades. But then we also have a lot of youth because we work with youth down to age 14. So some of them are in school still and some of them are young and out of school still.
Sure, sure.
And so then it's a matter of, do they want to re-engage with the public school system or do they want to go the GED route and trying to help them? So there's not really a complete breakdown. It's a little bit of both across the board.
And one of the benefits of this program is that, like Annie mentioned, they have these resource navigators, so we can really tailor a pathway for them. And so we can't, you know, they all come in with different needs mm-hmm. and different interests, and then they have this person who helps just to guide them where they want to go.
Okay. Heidi, I did want to kind of pull the thread out a little bit about something you said, because obviously, you know, here in Lane County, it's a very diverse county. There's very urban areas like where we're talking right now, but then there's very rural areas. Talk a little bit more about how you serve, because obviously resources get more scarce sort of the farther you get away from the I-5 corridor. How do you kind of help serve a rural population that is far away?
Well, we have tried to be really responsive to each rural community's needs. Mm-hmm. So I can't say that there's one thing that fits for all of the communities, but I can give you a few examples of sure. how we've done this. So when we have programming that happens in the Eugene-Springfield area, we tried to remove all barriers to participation. So for example, that might be gas cards, organizing carpools. Sometimes we've even paid for housing. If it was a Florence youth who was coming in for one of our six-week programs, we've actually supported their housing while they were here. So we try to remove the barriers if we're asking them to come in. Another way that we have tried to meet the rural communities where they're at is we do have some of our resource navigators who are in those communities on a regular basis, in those schools on a regular basis. We've piloted projects with Cottage Grove, Siusla, and Mapleton, where we're actually in the school teaching once a week. Cottage Grove, we did a summer program last year. So again, we're trying to reach the students where they're at. And then if we are asking them to come into Eugene-Springfield, again, trying to remove all barriers to participation and making it a really easy yes for them.
Yeah. Annie, I would imagine, especially in the Navigate program, that's quite a lifeline for kids who are, you know, in a rural environment.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, talk a little bit about also, I know one of the things you do, these adult skill mentoring and housing application support. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because that seems kind of unusual.
So really the Navigate program is trying to provide this wraparound support, mm-hmm. especially because a lot of the youth we work with are not at a place yet where they can really engage
sure.
yet with education and career. Mm-hmm. That's kind of where all of that comes into play. So working one-on-one with a resource navigator who's providing that support when they potentially don't have that support anywhere else,
okay.
helping them do things like apply for their I-9 documents if they don't have them anymore, they've
okay.
gotten lost, or helping them build a resume because they've never done that before so they can actually engage with the workforce. That's okay. all a part of what the resource navigators do. And like Heidi was saying, we'll go out to the communities where the youth are. So mm-hmm. that's what's really special about our resource navigators is that they go all the way out to Florence and all the way to Lorraine, Cottage Grove, because sometimes that's where the youth are and we need to meet them where they're at.
Sure. Heidi, talk about, it's kind of exciting that you're participating in this nationwide pilot program that addresses the issue or helps to address the issue of youth homelessness. Talk about this program.
We're fortunate to be able to connect with a group called Point Source Youth, and we are one of six pilot sites in the nation to attempt to pilot this direct cash transfer as a prevention tool, so DCTP. Okay. And essentially what we are doing is providing funds to youth without any strings, without any tape, and asking them to spend it on the thing that feels most important to them.
Hmm.
We do ask that they come up with a plan. We want to see their budget. We want to see what their goals are for the resources. But we are giving them the funds and letting them kind of go and make those decisions on their own. I think Annie could probably add a little bit
sure,
more.
Sure, go ahead, Annie.
Yeah, absolutely. So the DCTP pilot program that we're doing is really putting the power in the hands of the youth, and it's to prevent homelessness. So this is youth who are potentially facing evictions, or they were one bad car accident away from not being able to pay their rent, and so
sure.
now they don't know what to do. And that's what DCTP is for. So they come in, they're referred either by our resource navigators or a couple different people we've partnered with, and they meet with us. We go through what their budget looks like, what kind of emergency they're facing, what's preventing them from maintaining stable housing or getting stable housing. And then we give them the funds that they need to be stabilized and trust that they are going to use it for what they need.
Okay. It kind of sounds to me a little like, perhaps you're familiar with this sort of concept of the universal basic income, that an entity like this state would provide funding to citizenry and say, okay, it's yours, go do with it. Which, and they found in a lot of tests that people buy the things that they most need, and this sort of kind of mythology about, oh, they'll just waste it on this or that, doesn't really hold true. It sounds like this has an element of that to it.
Yeah, I can see the similarities in that. It really is trusting the youth to spend it on what they need to stabilize them.
Yeah.
And we do provide follow-up services, so they receive the DCTP funding, but they can opt in to follow-up service where we will do youth financial foundation classes with them, we will do case management support with them, help guide them through that process. So it's, we're providing that support at the same time we're offering them these funds that they need.
Sure. What, you know, as best you can, however you want to quantify it, what's the hopeful outcome of all this? I mean, is there a number you're trying to reach in terms of kids, or is it, you know, kind of we'll see as this pilot program evolves?
Yeah. I mean, the overall big goal, of course, is to stabilize housing for young people in Lane County.
Sure.
Because that's such a huge barrier for all the youth that we work with. And I think as we go through this process, we'll see those outcomes. We're doing 1 month, 3 month, and 6 month check-ins with all the youth who have received DCTP funding,
mm-hmm.
To see where they're at and if they are stably housed still after receiving the funds. So we'll kind of see that grow.
Yeah.
Our hope is to serve at least 50 youth with the funds that we were given.
Okay.
We are at 44 youth right now, and we will probably be out of the funding we have at the end of this month, because we have about 9 more youth lined up for meetings.
Yeah. Heidi, sort of taking that program that Annie just described, I kind of want to ask you about the sort of the generalized concept of collaboration. Obviously, homelessness and the unhoused is such a huge issue in our community, in our state, in the vast majority of the West Coast and larger. You know, how does Connected Lane County, you know, collaborate with other organizations to be this sort of, you know, kind of tapestry of solutions towards homelessness?
So we are pretty committed to staying in alignment with our mission, which is really about, you know, preparing young people for having success in whatever pathway they choose.
Mm-hmm.
And we have explored expanding that to include some of these other services like housing and mental health. But there are a lot of great organizations in our region working on this housing issue.
Mm-hmm.
So we're starting to have conversations with various nonprofits about how can we potentially partner, what creative solutions we could maybe come up with together. As an example, we've been exploring with one local nonprofit this idea of block housing.
Hmm.
So can an organization hold a lease with another nonprofit that does housing, and then that lease is specifically for the youth that we serve? So instead of us purchasing an apartment for our youth, we instead work with a nonprofit that has open floors, that has open spaces, we hold the lease, and then we put our youth in there. So we're really trying to be collaborative, because we feel like nonprofits do best when they stick to their mission and they align to their own mission and then work together to try to accomplish some of these other, or try to overcome some of these other challenges. And we've done that same thing with mental health services. So we're looking at how do we partner with private therapists or even organizations to hold spots for our youth rather than hiring an internal therapist. We don't want to be the organization for everything.
Okay.
We want to stick to our mission, but we also there's a great need for our young people, and we want to help solve that challenge, but we feel like partnering with other organizations is the best way to do that.
Okay. Let me reintroduce you to the audience. We're talking with Annie Dropick. She's the program lead for the Navigate program within Connected Lane County, and Heidi Lawrick is the executive director. I want to, Heidi, stay with you for a second, because I did want to talk about mental health in this regard. Is part of what you do, the idea of destigmatizing mental health so that it can be something that kids feel safer to talk about than perhaps a decade or a generation ago. Talk a little bit about that, because I think that's obviously a huge part of, you know, overcoming the barrier.
Yeah, there's a couple of different approaches I think that we have taken. I think the first one is that our staff that work most closely with youth, including our resource navigators and some of our other projects assistants, they have all gone through a peer support or youth support training. Mm-hmm. So they all have some of that training or experience or knowledge around how to better support a youth with their mental health. They're not licensed therapists, but they're sort of that in between.
Okay.
So I think that's one way that we've tried to address it with our staff. Another way is to normalize it with our staff and to sort of talk about, you know, we have sick days, use mental health days, like normalize that sort of piece too, so that in the office, people don't feel like they have to hide it. And then maybe if, you know, our adults are more comfortable talking about it, then maybe our youth will get more comfortable.
Sure.
We're also looking at creating some more peer support groups. So we have a mentoring program that's happening right now for our BIPOC youth, so the Black, Indigenous, people of color. We're also standing one up for our LGBTQIA plus youth. That'll start this summer. And so those will be largely geared around that kind of peer support too. So talking about some of those challenges in their life, and I'm sure mental health will come up. I would say the final piece to that is we have a youth advisory board, and that's something that they're actively talking about, is how can we better support youth mental health needs across the organization? And they've come up with some really great ideas for us.
Okay. Annie, last question for you is, are there ways in which the private sector can partner? I'm thinking about the job training and stuff for Navigate. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things we do in the Navigate program is set youth up with work-based learning opportunities. Mm-hmm. So they are similar to internships. We call them work experiences, where youth are interested in getting into a career, but maybe they haven't had a job before. They don't have any skills in that area. And so we will partner with private businesses, private organizations in the areas the youth are interested in, and then set them up so they can go there, work for them while we pay the bill for that work. So the youth is getting paid and learning skills at the same time. And that way, when they leave that experience, they have something they can put on their resume and hopefully start getting into the careers that they're interested in getting into.
Great, great. Well, Heidi Lawrick, the Executive Director of Connected Lane County, and Annie Dropick, the Program Lead for the Navigate Program, really appreciate you guys coming in and talking about this exciting program.
Thanks for having us. Thank you.
That's the show for today. All episodes of Oregon on the Record are available as a podcast at klcc.org. Tomorrow, you'll hear from key employees at the Senior and Disability Services Division of Lane Council of Governments about preventing elder abuse in our community. I'm Michael Dunn, and this has been Oregon on the Record from KLCC. Thanks for listening.